Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, 9 through 20. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance, and he saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed to what the vision that he had seen meant, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go and down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." I once went to a buffet on crab leg night and ate my fill, but they kicked me out and they said I was being too shellfish. Wah, wah, wah. All right, well, based on the title of the sermon, you might all think I'm going to talk about the cleanliness of all-you-can-eat buffets and ruin your experience of them. And do not worry, I would not do that to you or myself. Are all-you-eat buffets open again? No, not yet? Oh, well, soon enough. But this is different and strange and kind of an interesting story that we get about Peter from the book of Acts. So what's going on here? Peter's on a journey and he stops to pray and he gets hungry, right? We all know what that, right? It's the 4th of July. We know what that's like. You know, we just all of a sudden, you know, you stop, you arrive home and you're like, you know, I'm hungry. But then when he does this, he has this vision and all of a sudden the sky opens up and something like a sheet that has four corners on it. And then comes down the sheet and all of a sudden there's all these different animals and reptiles and birds and lizards and ostriches and pigs and the crab legs from the shellfish comment. I also kind of like to envision when I see this that there would have been even other animals that maybe Peter didn't know, like beaver, right? Beavers are only in North America, right? So maybe there was a beaver in there or maybe like a panda bear, you know? That's just stuff that I do when I'm thinking about these passages. You know, I'd be like, well, I've never seen that before. I'd be like, well, that's a panda bear. But then a voice tells him simply, you know, from God, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And a few things about this, it's really simple instructions. It's all kind of like very clear. Get up from kneeling. You know, you prayed, you're hungry. Get up and just start digging in. Here God calls him by the name that Jesus changed his name to. He was Simon, but this is his Peter. He calls him the name that Jesus gave to him, the rock to which the church is built, the stubborn, bullheaded, but persistent name that Peter, really is. But what from the outside or the casual view, you hear the story and it looks like a simple story of God's provision. It's like manna in the desert. Peter was hungry, and here God brings him not just pita bread or hummus, but he brings a whole buffet. It would be like saying, "I need a snack." You're at your house and you need a snack and the whole grocery store appears, right? Can you imagine that? That would be amazing. I wouldn't know where to start. But it gets more interesting because Peter's response is not what we expect. He had just said, you know, he could have just said, you know, "Thanks God," and moved on with his life. He could have just said, "Oh wow, I was hungry and God, you provided." But as he saw, it was pretty clear the command from God, get up, kill, you know, eat. And what was the problem? But Peter says, no way. He says impossible. He says not going to happen. He says by no means, which in the Bible is kind of a pretty serious phrase. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And Paul says, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? by no means is the biblical equivalent of the, no way, not going to happen, like that kind of motion. It's that emphatic. This would have been like me and lima beans, man. When I was a kid, I hated lima beans. Anybody else out here? Anybody else in the hate lima beans? I actually kind of like them. I think there's something about, I guess, bad lima beans. Lima beans have a bad PR person because they're actually really good for you, and they're not as bad, they're not as bad as we think, but it would be that kind of way. It'd be like, by no means will I eat lima beans, and whatever, insert in whatever you want to. But Peter has what he feels is righteous indignation. He says, I've never eaten any of these things. I don't care how hungry I am. I don't care if I'm starving. He says, I don't eat unclean things. And he took the Levitical law seriously, and seeing these things lowered from heaven, where all the things were on the menu at his house growing up. All these things were not anywhere near, his name was Bar-Jonah, son of John, so his last name is actually Johnson. So Peter Johnson, at the Johnson household, there was no unclean food in the terms of Jewish dietary restriction. There was no pig, there was no clams. Just to make his point, Peter he says the word for unclean in this twice. He uses a different word, both words in Greek for unclean, just to show how offended and how awful he thinks this idea that God has told him to do. He says these are the dirtiest of the dirty. And in turn, he also feels like God should know better. Peter made it clear that this was not okay, and in saying almost, hey God, you know this too. You know these things are unclean. Like, what's going on here? This is a big deal for Peter. I think it's hard for us to understand, but culturally, Peter was raised Jewish, and he knew all the Levitical laws. These were given by God, and they were kept a strict diet, and some still do. But Peter never would have gone anywhere near any of these. His parents, his grandparents, their parents, 3,000 years, we can't fathom that long. This was part of following God, of being God's people. So it wasn't just like I don't feel like eating this kind of thing. It was ingrained in who he was, his religion and his sense of self and his traditions. So in that way, we can kind of sympathize with Peter, right? We can't blame Peter for his response because he's coming from a place of love, right? A place of honor, of duty. He's just doing what he thinks is right. But how does God respond? How does God respond to Peter in this? He says to him, what God has made clean, don't call unclean, don't call common. Three times he repeats this, and we know that the three is a number of completeness. That's why we sing, holy, 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 right? There's nothing more holy than God. That's why we say it three times, and this is why he says it three times here. The vision is repeated three times to show, to hammer home, to reinforce. The thing that Peter needed to get, the lesson he needed to learn was a hard one, and so it took this big vision for him to get it. He needed to realize that God is a God of renewal. As Christ had shared with him, he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Peter was not wrong to follow the laws about food. God had given those laws, and he gave them for good reason. In the desert, it's hard to cook. It's hard to cook pig at home and not be worried, right? We all overcook pork, right? Because we're worried about trichinosis or whatever, those kind of things. But Peter needed to figure out that God may have said that, but then things have changed, that God has renewed those things, that this was a time, a renewed time, and the rules had changed. It's similar to the story of David when he was out with his friends running away from Saul, and he goes into the temple, and he's hungry, and he eats the consecrated bread at the temple. This is in one of the books, I think 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel. But it's like, those are the rules, that you can't do that, that's illegal. Like, he should have been struck dead for that, or he could have gotten in big trouble, but he was hungry, and God provided. So it's similar to those kind of things where God is this God who isn't so stuck on rules, but more about the idea of renewal. For Peter, he was taught over and over and trained that these things were unclean, but God, in this moment, said to him, no, poof, they're clean now, they're okay, it's okay. See, God can do this because God made it, and God decides. And of course, God was not only talking about the food here. He's using food as kind of a leaping point. Food is the visual, but it goes well beyond that. See, Peter was doing his ministry thing, and the gospel was being shared not just with Jews anymore, but it had made its way into the rest of, it's making its way into the rest of the world, where there is more people that are not Jewish, which are, the Bible calls Gentiles. Peter was talking to Gentiles, and God's bigger plan always was incorporating people from all over, from all these different cultures, all these different things. And that his plan was redemptive and redeeming for all people. So, and it made all these people clean in his sight, that no group was special in the big, wide open, wonderful plan of God. And this was continually part of God's renewal. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, it was all possible for all of it to be wide open, that things were not going to be always the same, and Jesus was a game changer. And God reveals to Peter in this vision in a big way, because we know that later Peter's going to go to Cornelius, which we heard about at the end of this chapter, and then he goes to Rome, and he's interacting with Gentiles in all these different ways. And, you know, he says the same thing here. You know, at the end of it, it says, "Rise and go with the people that I sent." So God is doing with this vision is just creating a margin of grace in Peter's heart. God needed to chip away at some notions of holiness, of pride, because the Gentiles and all the people that were going to be hearing the gospel were all children of God. God knew that because Cornelius wasn't keeping kosher, you know, but was redeemed by him, and Peter might have a problem ministering to him, right? It might hold him back from being able, there might be at Cornelius' house and Cornelius is eating an iguana, you know, roasted iguana on a stick, like you do, right? Anybody have iguana before? I haven't, but... But can you imagine you're at the house and you're worried about, like, this is not clean, like, I can't even be near this food, and this person's eating this thing, and then Peter's trying to tell them about God's love, how that would hold him back. It would hold him back from being able to share. That Peter worrying about the dietary rules would hold him back in his love and his service to everyone and anyone. That the diet reflected a bigger issue of pride or being better than the Gentiles. And God needed to bring an end to that quickly because Peter had a lot of work to do. And we know from Peter's letter that he ends up in Rome, and so this is just one step in this big, huge step of God's plan. Who knows if he would have been, you know, he might not have been open to the Spirit if he hadn't been listening. And so Peter, you know, is open to the Holy Spirit. He's open to listening to what's going on. And he takes time away to kind of connect with God, and that's where this vision can kind of happen. Because God has a story, and we get to look back and see parts of the story, and we get to be a part of it in our lifetime, but we don't know the whole story. Peter in that moment didn't know why this vision was happening, right? It says here he was perplexed. Like, you know, can you imagine having that vision? Of course he'd be a little perplexed, right? A sheet coming down with all these different animals on it. And God is always renewing, though, as part of the story. God renewed the animals that were once unclean and going against the laws that had been written long ago. And God has renewed us, declaring us children so that we can be a part of his renewal in the world. God is not just talking about the animals here. He's talking to Peter. He's also talking to us. We're all renewed. We're all, you know, called clean, and it's an amazing gift of grace. So the question is, what are we calling unclean in our lives that God has redeemed? Like Peter with these things where he's saying, oh, no, that's not okay. If we had a vision, what would be in the sheet that lowers? You know, maybe you leave church today and you'll see a sheet coming down, and make sure you call me and tell me what you see. Or maybe go to the hospital first and then, no, just kidding. What biases or ways of seeing the world and the people in it hold us back the way that Peter was held back by these dietary restrictions? It might be gender identification or sexual orientation. It might be political affiliation. It might be economic status. It may be cultural or ethnic cultural background. Or maybe it's just what we were taught. Like Peter, when we were kids, this is what it's okay to be this, but it's not okay to be this. It might be any of those kind of things. An example of this, you know, from my life, my grandmother, God rest her soul, Nana, she was the kindest, most welcoming little New England Maine woman that you could ever see. She was about 90 pounds on, you know, soaking wet. I don't know where I got my body shape. And she welcomed everyone into her house. She didn't matter who, we would bring people from school, from life, and she had all these grandkids. She loved everybody. But one group that she didn't like, French Canadians. You know what I mean? She loved everybody, but the things this woman would say about French, you know, anybody here is French Canadian, I'm so sorry to even say it. But she would, like, all of a sudden she was welcoming everybody, but then it'd be like, well, those Canadians, like French Canadians, like, whoa, Nana. What's going on? You know, so she, you know, that was her kind of thing. Nana up in heaven needs to know that God is a God of renewal. He loves French Canadians, right? That's her, like, that was her lesson that she needed to learn. But like my Nana and Peter, we all have things to work on in terms of it. We may not get a vision of an unclean buffet, but if we're open, God will give us opportunities to brush up, come in contact with the thing that might be holding us back from doing the ministry of love, of care, and letting people know that they're loved, that God has for every single one of us. We need to be open and take time to really ponder that. And when the Spirit moves, God may call us to something that's different than he's called us to earlier. Maybe something outside of our comfort zone, like it was for Peter. I'm sure right away he didn't run off and start eating crab legs and and clams and things like that. But it moved him enough to open his view to say, oh, that God is bigger than that. My love for this person is bigger than the dietary things or the rules that I think they're breaking. We need to be open to that as a community and as God. So maybe, like Peter, it might be like a vision. Maybe it will be a whisper. However God wants to move, we got to be ready to listen and be open to all the things that God's ready to do, because God's ready to do so many different things, but we have to not be held back by these things that get in our way. Amen.